Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station. Jones and Keith, live from Gillette on WEEI, is presented by McFarlane Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and Cape Cod depend on. McFarlaneEnergy.com.
This hour, Jones and Keith is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keith with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
0-2. Pitch. Swing and a miss, he got him. An absolute masterclass from Christopher Sanchez. A complete game. The Phillies have won the series. They take game two over the Red Sox, 4-1. And the Sox looking to salvage the finale here in the city of brotherly love. That was just awesome stuff on the mound from the Phillies.
Well, that wasn't great.
No, it was not.
We had the under on Christopher. I was saying Sanchez. Is it Sanchez?
Sanchez. Yeah, Sanchez.
Excuse me, Will. Sanchez. We had the under on 1.5 runs off Sanchez
yesterday.
We hit
that.
I didn't realize he was going to be throwing a complete game.
You're going to go tip to tail?
I thought we were going to get 6-ish innings. I took the under on 1.5. I wasn't taking the under on 1.5 for the whole game.
I don't say this lightly. He could have pitched 18 innings. He was. That looked effortless from him. And maybe it's like his windup or whatever it is, but that looked like the easiest game of pitch and catch for Sanchez I've ever seen. He was rolling. Eventually, what did he end up finishing with? 101 pitches or whatever?
Oh, it might have been a touch higher, but yeah, maybe. It was 12 Ks.
But
yeah.
there was a stretch there where you're like, this guy has like 50 pitches. We're like, more, like 6th, 7th inning.
He finished at 106, four
okay.
hits, complete game,
but like
one run earned, no walks, 12 Ks.
Insane. Like, four hits even feels high. I'm like, when did they get the four hits? Like, he just destroyed them. Like, that. He is having a good season, so it is one of those. It's like, it's not out of nowhere. He is good. But, again, it goes back to that theme of good pitching has really silenced the Red Sox bats, and that guy was dominant. I mean, Zach Wheeler was good.
Yeah, he didn't have his best stuff. No,
he wasn't dominant. You're like, oh, they kind of got to him. They got his pitch count high, and they actually got him out after 6.
I
got to
tell you.
This guy looked like a machine.
The All-Star break, really boning the Red Sox.
Screwed him.
They had all this momentum. Now they've dropped 4 out of 5. Sanchez is all pissed they didn't get to pitch in the All-Star game. They had to deal with that.
Oh, yeah.
All-Star.
Oh, so that's
yeah. really screwing them.
Good point.
I think that's their issue.
He was really mad at Major League Baseball.
Yes.
And he took it out on the Red Sox.
Yes. Yeah. Precisely, Keith. It's Jones and Keith, hour two. Here live from Patriots training camp, Gillette Stadium on WEEI. We're presented by McFarlane Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on, McFarlaneEnergy.com. You heard a little ovation there from the crowd here at training camp. Going back a few moments, you heard a pop as well. That was Steph Diggs on a crosser over the middle from Drake May. Weaving his way through the defense.
I like it. Was that Henderson that made that last play?
Maybe not. That one I didn't see.
All right.
The play before, though.
My eyes, it's bad.
Yeah,
but the offense made a couple nice
plays. I thought
it
was a single-digit number, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
The ovation you heard earlier.
Was Diggs, for sure.
Was for Steph Diggs.
Yep.
Anything else comes across our radar, we'll be sure to pass it along. Billy Lanny, who was here at camp last year, says it looks like they're moving a little quicker.
Okay.
Between drills than they were a year ago.
That's good.
Under Mike Vrabel. Under Vrabel now compared to Mayo a year ago, which I don't think should come as a shock. Attendance very, very good. The only absence, if you're just tuning in, Jalen Polk, outside of the guys who are on PUP and the NFI list. So those are some of the updates.
And good crowd, too. Like, it's not – I mean, there are available seats in the bleachers,
but
it's
to you guys,
full.
When we first got here, I said it looks a little sparse, but that was about 45 minutes before it got going. I would say it's filled out pretty nicely.
The hill over here is completely filled. So, yeah, good turnout all around.
We were discussing the Red Sox.
Wish we weren't.
And just their awful offensive performance last night. We talked about this yesterday. They're running into high-end pitching. And that's not an excuse. That's a reason to go get a bat. But I think it's more about the arms they're facing than the teams they're facing, if that makes sense. I don't know if that's getting into too gray of a territory. But to me, it's more of that. It's more the high-end pitching they're facing than the teams. They have winning records against other playoff-caliber teams, other teams that they're going to be battling with in their own division to make the postseason, in the wild card mix. So I don't think it's that. I do think it's high-end pitching, and I think you're seeing that really clearly against the Cubs and more specifically Philly these last two games. you're also seeing how dumbass of a team this is. Another play last night, and I don't really even know if I'm getting pissed at Narvaez for another catcher's interference.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
On or in front of home plate.
I don't think he touched the plate, but regardless.
Either's a violation of the rule.
Yeah.
I think I'm just more pissed at the whole operation for not noticing that Bryce Harper was working his way down the third base line. I think I'm more frustrated with that.
A little steal home there, right off the rip. So, like, right away, you find yourself kind of down. No, but then it was like, steal a home? No, it was actually catcher's interference and a box.
And a box. And so like, the runner advances to third.
Yeah.
So just, it's another night where it's a play you don't typically see.
Right. And it was like right away. It was like a continuation from
bingo.
The night before.
Bingo. So, I don't think I'm specifically pissed at Narvaez not to let him off the hook. You know, he's had a bunch of these catcher's interferences all year long. This one was different than it was the other night. But the whole operation just being asleep.
Yeah.
With Bryce Harper stealing home, I guess that would be my big issue with their dumbassery last night.
It has been a tough go for my guy Narvaez the last couple of games. Whether it's the catcher's interference or whatever else, it just hasn't been.
I think he's hitting a touch of a wall.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't think.
He already wasn't hitting a ton going into the All-Star break. That's tailed off. That doesn't make him a bad player, but first full year with the grind at the big league level, like, that would make sense if he's hitting a wall.
No, it's true. And one of the exercises we did last week when you were gone, me and Lanny went through a bunch of the guys on the team and we're like, all right, second half, basically, like, can they keep that? Are they playing above where they are, like, above expectation? Are they playing below expectation? Are they playing at expectation? And you're like, Narvaez was one of those guys where you're like, I don't know if you can count on the type of season he was having both at the plate and in the field for the second half. Like, that's a lot to put on a guy, especially a catcher. And the way Connor Wong's playing, you want Narvaez out there every single night. So that's a lot to ask for him. You know, some of the other guys were like, well, Rafaela and Story were in the middle of a real hot streak. You didn't know if they were going to be able to continue it. But then last night, not the reason why they lost, but like Richard Fitz, you get yourself in a little bit of a hole there. And it's why we're also screaming for a starting pitcher. Now, a starting pitcher's not going to help you score more than one run, obviously. But Richard Fitz just didn't really put you in a chance to be super competitive after he gets tossed out of there early. And then, like, anytime you see Brennan Bernardino in the fifth inning, you're like, the game's over.
Yeah.
I know it's still technically close, but you're like, this is not a great sign. I don't like where this is going.
I don't love how that's going either. Although I think Bernardino, after really bottoming out for a stretch of the middle, I think he's gotten like 11 straight appearances.
I was gonna say,
scoreless.
He honestly wasn't even bad. It's just the way he kind of operates. It's just like the way he pitches. There's like, oh, it's like you're fighting every pitch. It feels like, but yeah, no, just a brutal start. You know, some were wondering, all right, is this going to be, you know, a really tough stretch based on the opponent? And I kind of pushed back on that, and maybe I shouldn't have because Cubs and Phillies have really just kind of owned them so far.
I just don't get, for everybody who has that commentary, I included Tampa going before started. I included Tampa. I'll include the Dodgers as well. To me, that's kind of the window for it. A lot of people said it was just 9 games.
Yeah.
I included Tampa in that stretch. Tampa was in a wild card spot.
That's
you were
fair.
Chasing them when it started. So it's a 13-game stretch. You've won, what, 5 out of these? I'm trying to do math off the top of my head. 5 out of these, is it 9 games to this point in time? 5 out of the 9 games.
Yeah.
So you're going to need to pick it up.
Right.
Obviously, you're not winning this series against Philly. You hope you avoid the sweep tonight. You hope you win the series against the Dodgers, who are not playing well. And you come out with a winning record over that 13-game stretch.
I am with you. It's not specifically, best teams. It's not. It's not that. However, a lot of the best teams do have really good pitching. And that's what you're running into in the series. Cubs were all lined up, ready to go.
And that's what you're going to run into in the playoffs, which is why it's important to go get a bat. Alex Cora after the game. Keith, tell me if you hear the hilarious joke in here from Cora.
Okay.
But this is Alex Cora about the quiet offense yet again after another loss here coming out of the break.
So you have 28 strikeouts and 2 walks in the series. What are you seeing at the plate, and what needs to change?
I haven't seen anything. I'm in the bench, but all kidding aside, good stuff, man. Two of the best pitchers in the big leagues, they are. And that's the reason they're good. If we want to play in October, we have to find a way to hit those guys, right? I think yesterday we battled, did a good job against Wheeler. We have our chances, but tonight, I think he was outstanding. You know, like, just, you got to tip your hat.
Okay, so a couple of things here.
Oh, yeah, he didn't see anything because he wasn't hitting.
He was on the bench. He didn't see anything. If you're watching the video of that, he, like, gave a little wink, too, when he did it. Like, he thought he was hilarious. Like, okay, Alex, good one. You heard me groan there in the middle of that. Drake May, Jabril Peppers, dropped just a floater of an interception across the field. I was going to ask you this earlier, Keith, and we'll pick up with it. May looked – I thought – the offense in general looked kind of sharp while he was out there.
Yep.
And then it noticeably dropped off when Dobbs came in.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't look sharp. There were throws everywhere. There were drop passes, balls on the ground. But then May just started the second session and probably should have thrown a pick if Peppers could have held on.
Yeah, not the best. But, you know, working the kinks out here early.
But, well, I was just going to say, I guess prior to that throw, should we read into the sharpness level with May and then a drop-off to the backup? Is that a good look for him?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. Like, this isn't like a competition by any means, though, right? You know, so you obviously expect him to look a lot better, and I think he should, like, throughout all of camp. You know, last year that's what was frustrating about it was there were times where Drake May looked better, but you were like, they're still going to give the job to Jacoby Brissett, which makes no sense. So, yeah, I mean, like, what the backups and the third stringers do really shouldn't be of huge significance. I think what's going to happen is less so the quarterback, but the receivers working with those other quarterbacks. What opportunities are those guys given? Can they even show anything? Or does the offense just look so bad that, you know, Booty or Baker or Polk, if he shows up, are just kind of in trouble because they're not getting as many reps with Drake May, and that's where the offense is actually doing something.
So we'll continue to pass along what we see here at Pat's training camp. Jones and Keefe live on WEEI. We'll be here all camp. It's day one with things underway here in Foxborough. You can dial us up again, 617-779-7937. If you want to talk some Red Sox, where do you want to start, Keith? This
real
trade
quick.
Rumor from Rosenthal?
Real quick, let me just follow up on what Cora said.
Oh, yeah.
There's a little bit of the just tip your cap to the other team, like with the Phillies.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. We all acknowledge that Wheeler and Sanchez are very, very good, but you weren't super competitive against either guy, especially last night. So you can only do that so many times. Like, so today it's what, Lizardo, who I think has an ERA like in the fours.
Yep.
So like, all right, now you don't have that excuse anymore.
This is the guy you got to get to.
And even in the Dodgers series, they changed things around. I guess they won't even face Ohtani now. I think Ohtani was scheduled.
I thought Ohtani was scheduled for Sunday.
He was. I read somewhere that I think he's just going to hit. I think they moved it around, which is too bad.
That is.
As a fan, I just wanted to see it. But
probably good news for the Red Sox, though.
Probably great news for the Red Sox. Although, who knows? He might only go like three innings
or
whatever.
I think his last start, he went three.
Yeah.
And they bring in whoever, Dustin May or whoever.
But, I mean, right now, they're in a little bit of a funk. So, it's a little annoying and like to hear. Like, oh, you just got to tip your cap to him. But in the span of 162, chances of facing a Wheeler Sanchez back-to-back the rest of the way is pretty unlikely, right? So hopefully, okay, you don't have that. You want to use that excuse now? I'll kind of give it to you, but then going forward, you don't have it.
Well, right. In the regular season, you probably won't have to do that. In the playoffs, you're going to face teams that can do that.
Right.
Why, again, Breslow, and I've been as Bres pro as they come.
Yep.
But Breslow, get off your ass. Let's make a move.
Yep.
So,
all right, give me some trade rumors.
All right, well, where do you want to start? You want to start with Passan, who kind of pours water on the idea of the Red Sox doing anything big?
No, read Passan, because he does and then he doesn't. And it's what a lot of these guys, a lot of these newsbreakers do because they want to cover themselves. Rappaport does it all the time in football, but read what Passan said.
Wait, does Passan tweet officially official all the time and quote
things? No, he is different than him.
I think Rap Sheet might have said a personal – I read three officially officials yesterday.
Well, that's how you know it's
Rap
official.
Sheet, and that is – I mean, that's an insider right there. Passan broke down all of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball into different groups, definite buyers, definite sellers, and then he has the Red Sox in a category of could they just stand pat?
Did he do tiers?
Some kind of tiers mixed in there. It wasn't alphabetical, I can tell you that.
A stand pat tier.
He had biggest need, high-end starting pitcher, biggest asset, Jarren Duran, which interested me, and the best fit, Joe Ryan, starting pitcher. You tell me where to stop, Keith.
At
this moment, he says the Red Sox are not inclined to engage in any large-scale deadline moves. At this moment.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that can't change.
Okay, right,
that's what
he
writes.
No large-scale.
Chief Baseball Officer. I don't like that either. Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow, my guy, has said the team wants to add after trading Devers. And while it would surprise no one if they did, Boston is an organization that deeply values operating efficiency. And a market like this is the epitome of inefficient.
I don't like this.
Gross. Get Mayo ready again. That is gross. Holding now would speak to the Red Sox comfort with their current roster and the exceptional price to bolster it. So basically they're
prices are too high, and actually, you know what? We actually do really like our roster.
This
isn't
the time of year to do it.
Okay, I don't like that at all.
I hate that. They say the Red Sox are weak enough in spots. Non-Sadon Rafaela and Carlos Narvaez defense and base running. I guess he hasn't watched Narvaez the last couple of
years. No, it's been a tough go.
To acknowledge that this might not be the year to chase a player on an expiring contract such as Seth Lugo. File that name away.
Okay, I will.
Maybe they pony up to get Ryan, seeing it the same way they did in the four-prospect haul it took to land Crochet. But for now, at least, They simply haven't been willing to go there.
So he buries them. Like, any chance they have, it's like, oh, you're excited about the deadline? You shouldn't be. They actually like the roster more than you think. It's a seller's market, so they're going to be too hesitant to trade anything worthwhile. But they could get Joe Ryan. Like, Joe Ryan's, like, the best player available, probably. Best starting pitcher available, probably. And he will cost a lot. So he goes from they're not going to do it and the price is too high to they might get the guy who's going to cost the most.
Right.
So that's what I was like. I read the first paragraph of it. I'm like, oh, this sucks.
I would, okay, but I maintain that's an overall negative report.
It is.
Report
it, most of it is negative, but he leaves himself all these outs.
He does.
Where he's not ruling out that they get Joe Ryan.
Right. I mean,
so I was like, okay.
When he writes at this moment, that's a massive qualifier by itself, but at this moment, they're not looking to make any big moves.
No, and that's why, like,
if
you're doing it betting wise, it'd be what? Like, minus. No, it'd be like plus 500 that they like add Joe Ryan, minus 300 that they don't. Or
right,
something.
I'd say maybe even longer than that. And so, no, to me, what's frustrating is that line about the efficiency. Like, they are a hyper-efficient organization, or they base it on, they deeply value, quote-unquote, operating efficiently. And a market like this is the epitome of inefficient. Like, a line like that sucks. That sucks.
Say, but like,
I bet everything you traded for Crochet was technically inefficient.
If you look back at all of their World Series teams, with maybe the exception of 13, you look back at all their World Series teams, one of the big reasons they won was they had, at a time, a couple years prior to, really good farm system. They traded guys from the farm system for established guys, mixed them in with the homegrown guys, plus big studs that were going to be available out there that other teams either couldn't pay, wouldn't pay, whatever. And that's how they won. Right? Like, whether you're trading for Pedro Martinez, or you're trading for Josh Beckett and Mike Lowell, or you're trading for Chris Sale, I mean, to a lesser degree, like Kimbrel, whatever. Like, you made these big-time trades because your farm system was good. You're back in that spot now. Your farm system is good. It wasn't great for a little bit. I think it was overstated how bad it was, but that's a different story.
Well, clearly. Rafaela and
Duran and Casas, even. I mean, Casas is kind of whatever he is, but he's at least viewed somewhat highly.
Even Hauk, who stinks this year, was a star last year. Those were all Dombrowski
guys. Correct. So that was overblown. But the point is, you have a lot of those guys. So they're talking about, oh, they're like an efficient ball franchise or whatever. Like, okay, you don't have room for all these guys. When are your top prospects now? The guys that aren't on the Major League club, when are they going to be playing? When are they going to break through? Whose spot are they taking? Or do you trade a few of those guys for a starting pitcher, which you need, or a first baseman who can hit, which you need? It makes no sense. Like, you can be as efficient as all you want, but it's not like all your outfielders are 32 years old, or your infield are all old guys that are on contract years. Like, that's not the case.
So that was Jeff Passan's report, and that's frustrating. I'm also frustrated by a report from Ken Rosenthal, who's, if Passan's not the top insider, then it's Rosenthal. Like, these are the two best guys in the sport.
Yep.
Rosenthal suggests the Red Sox and Royals could be interested in a trade centered around Seth Lugo and Jaron Duran. First of all, how's that sound?
Doesn't sound great.
Seth Lugo has a player option at the end of the year for $15 million. He's got a sub-3 ERA. He's 35 years old.
So he's a rental. Call him what he is. He's a rental.
Unless he gets hurt, he's opting out. And if he gets hurt, he won't be pitching next year. Like,
he is
a rental. He is not under control like Joe Ryan. Okay? Rosenthal notes that Lugo is likely to use his player option and become a free agent at the end of the year. So he says the Red Sox would likely want bullpen help or prospects in return as well. And then he names some prospects. I don't know who these guys are. Blake Mitchell or Carter Jensen?
I don't care.
Why do you want prospects?
You have them. You have prospects.
Why do you want that?
At every level, you have prospects. Even at the major league level, for God's sakes, you have prospects.
It says this trade could thread the needle for the Red Sox in the immediate, and also landing a talented hitter that fits their timeline of young prospects. Like, no.
No.
I don't want. If you're telling me I get a bullpen arm, too, that helps the team this year, maybe. Maybe. I'd rather a better pitcher than Seth Lugo if I'm trading Duran.
I don't want to.
I'm trading Duran for a rental pitcher and prospects? That's stupid.
That's terrible. Although, I guess one counter is, does Jaron Duran even play against lefties now? You know, like, Jaron Duran's value isn't what it was.
Good question.
So, I mean, he didn't last night. So I just feel like, I don't know.
Right. He didn't last night. You're right. Yeah.
So, like, maybe you don't feel as good about him as you normally would, but for 2 months as Seth Lugo, I think that's insane.
Yeah.
You have Duran under contract or under team control, I should say, for a while.
I was just double checking. Lizardo's a lefty tonight, so we'll keep an eye on that.
Well, I don't think he sits against every lefty, but I wouldn't be. I mean, who knows? We'll see. He didn't play last night.
It's clearly a good move to get him out of there last night. They were really, you know, knocking Sanchez
I think, I
around
mean, I,
the yard.
We've gone back and forth on this. I am of the keep Jaren Duran. However, if you said
– if I'm getting Lugo and prospects, everybody should be on the keep Jaren Duran side.
Yeah. I think if you're like, oh, Eugenio Suarez or Joe Ryan, and it's the only way you get it done, maybe I begrudgingly do it. But for somebody like Seth Lugo
– right.
Not doing it.
I don't think it's stupid to make a Duran for Ryan trade. I wouldn't do it, but I don't think it's stupid. I get that logic. The Lugo trade would be stupid.
I don't want that.
617-779-7937. Just real quick, because he had it penciled in. We can get to it later. Any quick thoughts on Devers actually getting off his ass and playing first?
I am surprised. I didn't think he would play, so I guess I was wrong about that. I thought the whole Will Clark thing was comical, obviously. You know, Will Fleming getting involved, too, was a good detail. But, yeah, he went out there, and they turned him around. Devers got a big W last night.
They won.
A six-game losing streak. They won the game. He played first base. He had a couple of hits.
I think he had an RBI. A ribeye steak.
He had a nice game for him.
And not the normal steak he's woofing down. A ribeye steak out there in the game.
Steak.
Yeah,
but,
good for him.
But, yeah, that's he's out there playing first base.
Okay.
See how long it lasts, but that's what he did yesterday.
Wouldn't do it here, but did it there.
Sure
what
did.
Do you know? It even helped the team.
Yeah, they got a W.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Where are all the people yelling that it's stupid for him to do that? Where are all the people saying that's dumb? Why Devers play first? Where's that?
Themselves around.
Yeah, I don't hear anybody saying that. Boy, that's stupid he did that for the Giants. That's dumb. He should just hit. Huh. Interesting. 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch. Jones and Keefe, day one. Patriots training camp, eyes on everything. That was a quick Red Sox detour. We'll do some Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. Richard Fitz gave up 4 runs on 6 hits and 3 in a third innings in last night's Red Sox 4-1 loss to the Phillies in Philadelphia. Boston's lone run came off of a Rob Refsnyder home run in the fourth. Sox look to avoid the sweep tonight in the series finale. First pitch is at 7:05. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Lucas Giolito gets a start for the Sox against the Phillies' Jesus Lozado. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at Christian Arkand beginning at 6:05. And Patriots training camp is officially underway here at Gillette Stadium. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Would you rather Juan Soto or Would you rather have a pet monkey or a mini pig? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keith.
Would You Rather Wednesday. Jones and Keith live from Patriots training camp. We're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I would say some of the takeaways here from competitive periods, day one at training camp. Drake May has been through 2 starts to competitive periods. Both times he has looked for and completed passes to Steph Diggs.
Smart man.
So early and often he's looking Diggs' way. He did throw a near pick to Jabril Peppers. Aaron went out down the field. The Peppers dropped. That was in the first session. In this last session, Keith, he had a little back shoulder comeback throw to Kyle Williams on the sideline in front of Gonzalez. That was a decent completion.
I'll take it. Pretty good. Now, that's also – these are tricky. You know, it's not full pads. Obviously, the defense isn't going to touch the quarterback. So you wonder on some of these, does Drake May really have enough time to get the ball
right,
out?
Right, because that one, you're right. He had to step up like crazy. He's not getting dragged down like he would in the game. Yeah.
But still, good to see, you know, Kyle Williams making any plays, honestly. I mean, it's day one of camp.
On Gonzo.
Third-round pick, and you're going up against one of the best corners. So that's obviously a positive sign. And I'm with you. Just from, you know, looking at it, it does feel like there's a little bit of a drop-off when they go
to
the Dobbs. Second group.
Yeah, which
across the board, though, there was just a play over here where he completed a pass, but 2 receivers ran a very similar route. Like, there was a lot of traffic in the area where you're like, all right, somebody may have ran the wrong depth or whatever else. So, you know, maybe just another positive for May. I mean, it is day one. Everyone's working the kinks out. And then the fact that they look kind of a shaky. There's another pick.
Right. Like, so is it Dobbs looks terrible?
Yes.
Or is it just May looks good? It's probably more Dobbs looks terrible because that was
I think it's
awful.
More that. And then so when you get, like, average play, it's going to look great compared to whatever else we've seen since.
Fair enough. We got some would you rathers. Keith, you told me that
I do have an impromptu. I have an impromptu one. This one's inspired by yesterday. So during Mike Vrabel's press conference, Ben Volen, comically so, asked the same exact question Curran asked about 3 minutes earlier.
Yep.
So would you rather ask the same question as somebody else in a press conference setting?
Or I've probably done that, by the way. Or
fall for a fake scoop that somebody DM'd you. One or the other, either or. It's like a would you rather.
How high level is the falling for the scoop? Is it just we read it real quick on the air? Or is it like
you take it to like a, you're on the radio
yep.
and you mention it on the radio for all the people to hear it. And then you're like, the team I cover, I have a scoop about it.
Yeah.
And then you later find out that it was just somebody on Twitter who DM'd you.
Got it.
Or
maybe it's AI.
Or it's AI. Yeah, you can play my AI.
Oh, yeah. I think I'd rather ask the same question. Yeah.
I think so.
I think I'd rather that. I'd rather get body bagged like Volen yesterday. You see everybody?
Yeah, he did get body bagged.
Get bodied, Volen.
Did he make it out today?
Yeah, I think I actually think I heard him because Rochi, being the hilarious guy that he is, asked the same question again today to start
smoked
the press conference.
Him. Absolutely smoked.
I think
him.
I even heard Volen apologize for asking that, for missing it yesterday.
That is tough.
So, yeah, I would rather.
Either you're not listening
I would
or
rather that. Yes.
You're listening to the wrong people. Those are also sort of how that breaks down as well.
All right, pretty good. Yeah. What else is on the non-impromptu list, Billy? What else?
All right, first up, would you rather trade Jarren Durant or Christian Campbell?
Okay, so not to contradict myself, out of the two, I know Campbell's doing nothing right now after getting sent down in AAA, and that's after doing nothing for 2 months in the big leagues. I would still rather trade Durant than Christian Campbell. I'm not giving up on Campbell. If you're telling me that Durant isn't long for the Red Sox, I might agree with that. I'd like him for the stretch run this year. But come the offseason, I could be coaxed into it. I would rather, out of those two, and I'm not itching to trade Durant.
No, I know.
Out of those two, that's the guy.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I think for this current roster, if you told me Christian Campbell and other prospects and you got Joe Ryan, you'd be like, holy smokes. Like for this season, you're kind of cooking with gas. If you trade Jarren Durant, you're like, all right, you need a new leadoff hitter. You already have a log jam in the outfield, but you are taking away a good player. You know, it depends on what you're going to get. Also, but what you just said, I agree with. You don't know how much longer Durant's even going to be on the team. If they're going to go with Rafaela, Roman Anthony, and Willy Abreu, that's a pretty jammed outfield with all guys that are younger than Durant. Meanwhile, second base could very well open up for Christian Campbell here. So I think ultimately, even though for this season you'd be better off just trading Campbell, but this long-term approach, I think, I'd probably rather trade Durant.
Right.
It'd be more jarring if you read a report that, like, Campbell's just been traded than if Durant just got traded.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, I think my real answer is I'm not wanting to trade either.
Probably not.
Out of the two, I'm trading Durant. What else do we have, Billy?
Would you rather have Jerry Jones own your favorite team or John Henry?
I think this one's easy, but I'm curious for your answer.
Yeah, so as much as we get frustrated with John Henry, give me John Henry. John Henry's won way more in the last 25 years than Jerry Jones certainly has. The argument, I guess, would be you know Jerry Jones cares about it. He cares maybe too much about it. He makes it very much about himself. He is like the definition of the hands-on owner,
right?
While John Henry is hands-off, and that might sort of
John Henry is an absentee owner.
Yes,
Jerry Jones is too hands-on.
And when things are going poorly, at least Jerry Jones is going to do every media availability and just be at the center of attention. Whereas
That's
John Henry, you don't even know what country he's in. But I think you have to look at what the results have been, and I would go with John Henry. Jerry Jones more entertaining. But I would go with John Henry. I mean, unfortunately, there's sort of highs and lows as far as the spending is concerned. I don't think he's as into it as he was before. But Jerry Jones might even be more into it. He's doing a worse job.
I think you just ran the gamut and covered it perfectly.
Okay.
There
you go.
He does
Next
the media.
Question, Bill.
No, he does the media, which I like, Jerry Jones.
Yeah, no, it's entertaining for us.
He cares, which I like. But let's think about it. I mean, I guess Jerry Jones, when was the last Super Bowl? 95?
Yes.
Okay, so it's been 30 years since they've won.
Not only is that their last Super Bowl, that's their last conference championship game.
Yeah. And like they didn't even get to a
Super Bowl or get to a conference championship.
They've hardly won playoff games.
No, they're the Clippers.
So yeah,
they're America's team, but they're the Clippers.
Look, there are things I like about Jerry Jones, and I find him entertaining, and things I guess I'd prefer about his style than John Henry. But results,
yeah.
Henry has won with different managers, different GMs, different core of players. The Cowboys won with different coaches. I mean, I think anybody could have won with that team in 95.
I was say, but they didn't win with different players.
It was
they won with
all,
the same stud players.
All the same players. I guess he is the GM, so maybe you give him a slight mark of credit there. Henry's won more recently, and he's won with all different kinds of things.
But
no one loves John Henry as an owner.
Right.
But I'll take him every day of the week.
And Jones also isn't like this wild spender. I mean, he eventually paid CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, but like this Micah Parsons thing, it's not like he's just like opening up the checkbook for every single guy.
No, for sure not. What else, Billy?
Would you rather go to Philadelphia or Los Angeles?
So Philadelphia is a shorter flight, which I like. I'm not the plane as long.
Yeah.
I'm a little biased. I have a friend from Philly, so I'm a little biased. I've been to Philly more than I've been to LA.
I have been to LA once. Underrated.
Twice.
Good city.
Sick brag,
yeah, yeah.
Bro.
Thanks. No doubt. No doubt.
Two times.
Can't get a cheesesteak in LA.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
You see the Liberty Bell?
Not,
you see the Rocky statue.
Not in Santa Monica. You don't know. That's for sure. So, look, my answer, I guess it kind of depends on the time of year. Like, if it's the winter, I definitely don't want to go to Philly. But I do think the right answer, and I'm not a huge LA person. My sister lived out there briefly. I'm not a huge LA person. I like Philly. I think it's underrated. I'd still rather go to LA than Philly.
LA is kind of overwhelming. I'm anti-New York. I think I might also be anti-LA just overall. Like, I'm not, like, unless I'm going to be cast in, like, the next Hollywood pictures, I feel like I would rather just go to Philadelphia. It's a real short flight. You don't have to worry about jet lag and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Philly.
You don't have to worry about wearing your Red Sox and Patriots gear, though, if you go to L.A. No one's going to care.
They wouldn't
Philly,
care.
Philly, yeah, you never know.
Although, if you're in L.A. and you wear, like, a Giants jersey,
they might huck a battery at you.
There's been fights out there.
True.
San Francisco, L.A. is a big feud, right?
A good point.
There's been some bad scenes there. So I don't know.
Look, I don't love L.A., and I do like Philly, but again, I'd go L.A.
All
out
right.
of those two. What's the last
one? All right, last one. Here we go. Would you rather have the power to be invisible or turn into fire and fly or stretch your entire body or be a giant rock person?
Great question, Bill. So these, of course, are the four powers.
Honestly,
that the Fantastic Four possess.
That's a perfectly worded question.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So these are the four. This is the Fantastic Four, which is going to be in theaters this weekend.
Yep.
If you could have any of the powers of the Fantastic Four, which one would it be and why? I know you're probably thinking appendages, and you have a follow-up question on it. You want to be Mr. Fantastic. That's gross. So that's not the answer. The answer is, and this makes you a creep, I get it, but the answer of those four would be
Magnum Dom.
No. You're going with invisibility.
You're going with rock person?
What do you do? Yes.
Why?
Keith, look at
me. You can't change forms.
Keith, look at me.
You're stuck.
Yeah, look at me. I'm stuck with this form right now. I am a wafy, lacking muscular definition guy.
You'd rather be like a two-ton rock person?
Make me a giant rock hard person. And that is, that's what I want to be.
But you can't change. The other three can all change forms. So the other three all look like a regular person. And they're like,
I don't need to change form.
I'm a fire person.
Yeah.
Or I could stretch my arms, legs, and everything.
Yeah.
Or just be invisible.
It's not going to be easy on that LA flight if I'm a giant rock person.
You
that's
even
for sure.
Get on the flight.
Yeah, that's a
Meanwhile,
good
if you're the human torch, you can just fly by yourself.
Yeah, sure.
Just take off and fly.
So invisible.
You're going to burn your clothes off.
What do you do?
I want invisible.
What are you doing with your invisibility?
Just stuff.
Yeah, like what?
Probably detective stuff. I could probably be like a good sleuth. I could probably solve crimes. I'd probably do a lot of the same stuff Invisible Woman does.
Yeah?
Solves crimes.
Okay.
One of the heroes. Go in the girl's bathroom.
Like, you really can't say you can't say invisibility without sounding like a creep.
I know.
It's true,
really it's the worst. It's like, what superpower do you want? Invisible.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa.
What, is it Hollow Man? Kevin Bacon's just peeping in windows? I mean, I guess that'd be cool, but you can't answer that without sounding like a creep.
And then you just have, like, the bandages around your head. No, but Invisible Woman can just, like, she can, like, snap back, and she's like this. She can also do force fields. I didn't add that in there. She can also do force fields.
Which is good. The Twitch chat says the rock person already got hired by WEEI weekdays from 3 to 6. Most weekdays.
He would be a convincing thing if you wanted to for Halloween.
For sure.
Big dress-up day coming up a couple months from now.
He certainly would.
You picked out your costume yet for Halloween?
Ooh, I don't think so.
Okay.
I feel like I had an idea, but you put me on the spot. I don't think so.
Giant rock person. I think you, me, Lady, and Nico is the Fantastic Four.
I love it.
And we figure out who's who.
Who's Terp?
I'll be invisible. I'll take the day off.
Who's Terp? How do we get Terp in there?
Oh,
Terp just shows up in a basketball uniform, or like Terp just doesn't.
No, he could be one of the guys
at all.
He could be Spider-Man.
Okay.
So Nice. Interpreting good Spider-Man.
Jones,
nice.
Just going to this year knowing that Wiggy's going to be all over you. Just remember what you went through last year.
That's true.
Wiggy takes Halloween very
I wasn't ready for that last year. Right. Now I got to be. I can't get a cheap inflatable.
I thought your Rocket Man thing was pretty good. You were fighting with the fans the whole show, but that was good.
Yeah, other than the batteries, I thought it was nice.
Don't buy the batteries at the dollar store next year.
I was changing batteries every commercial break. Other than that, it was a good time. That was solid.
You can discuss which power you'd like. All the Would You Rathers. Sure. Weigh in. Text line, probably the best place for that. 617-779-7937. Also in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Patriots are going to conclude day one of training camp noonish. Drake May is scheduled to talk. You're going to hear it here on Jones and Keefe. I think Diggs is going to talk today as well. So we'll pass along all that. But on the way next, let's pay tribute to the Prince of Darkness, Ozzy Osbourne. That's next.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Jones and Keefe, we're live at Patriots training camp. Day one has concluded. Drake May remains out on the field. He's doing some post-practice throws, going through the paces out there. Some of the players walking off the field after some conditioning at the end. We'll give you updates on that. Drake May is scheduled to speak shortly after noon. You'll hear that here on WEEI. But I heard the Greg Hill audio eulogy earlier today for the late, great Ozzy Osbourne, passed away yesterday at the age of 76, which I got to be honest, I didn't see him making it to 76.
No, that was an upset.
I mean, that was an upset. But I was still surprised when I heard that news yesterday, and I would never consider myself the biggest Ozzy fan. I probably am more familiar with him from the television program than even his music. But I was surprised when Greg said that was his only top 40 hit, I think, and that was in the UK. That wasn't even in the United States.
Yeah.
That was really their biggest hit commercially.
Yeah, kind of a surprise, right? Because you can think of so many of his hits, whether it's with Black Sabbath or his solo career just as Ozzy Osbourne. And a guy who was 76, who outlived a lot of other rock stars who had a similar kind of lifestyle. He also looked 96 for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this guy was – but he just went on, like, a farewell tour. He was just performing
like
less than a month ago.
Yeah,
which is unbelievable. No, I think the term legend gets thrown around a lot. He truly is a legend. He also is somebody that I think for the type of music that I like, he is the most important figure.
Influenced
in that.
Everything.
100%. Because people can point to, like, Elvis or the Beatles or pick a bunch of different – bands or individuals. I would say Ozzy and Black Sabbath. I mean, there's a whole generation, and it continues, that point back to any kind of like hard rock or metal. You know, one thing I never got a chance to see was the Ozfest tour. I'm sure a lot of listeners to us right now went to Ozfest at least one of the years, and he did such a great job at promoting and showcasing like the next wave of bands, like Korn, for example, our intro song. They had a post the other day or yesterday about it and how their first like big tour was headlined by Ozzy and like Korn got to go with them and how like influential and helpful he was to all those bands. And those songs are still incredible. And then like the covers. So War Pigs is my favorite song of his. And then there's a bunch of covers. So T-Pain.
Yeah, I heard Greg talking about this today, too.
T-Pain does War Pigs.
I'm gonna listen to it because I haven't heard that cover. I'll listen to it. Yeah.
Well, Nick will play it at one of, like, coming back at some point. But it's great. Ozzy even recognized it as the best cover of War Pigs.
Yeah, I heard that this morning. That's wild.
The band Cake. You remember Cake?
Yeah, sure.
They do a really good version of War Pigs, too. Obviously, Crazy Train. They play it here all the time at Gillette.
I didn't remember he did the intro to the start of the 05 season. That came out yesterday. I did not.
Yep.
I didn't remember that. I remember that game. That was against Randy Moss and the Raiders, right? But I didn't remember that.
So many good ones. I did have a chance, sick brag, to see him in concert once. This was probably over 20 years ago. He came up to Manchester, New Hampshire, and he was headlining with Rob Zombie in front of him and Mudvayne. And it was amazing. And this was 20 years ago. He still looked kind of old. You're like, how is this going to go? And then as soon as he opens his mouth, he sounds like $1 million. Like, the guy could always sing. Had one of the great lead singers in the history of any genre of music. And then there is that other, like, aspect of him where that reality show that he was on.
I love the Osbournes.
So like, a lot of people did.
I like,
you know,
reality
what?
TV. I like that show.
We kind of have to blame him, though. I think we have to blame him.
Blame him for what?
The Kardashians.
Yeah, but that's a good show.
No, it's not. Every other
top five American, Keith.
It's to some.
Yeah,
to some.
On some list. Yeah.
But that was so popular, and it burned so hot for a while that all these other networks were like, let's take any kind of famous people
and put
and
them on
make
TV
a show.
Yeah,
and like we'll just go inside their house. If it wasn't for the Osbournes, you never would have gotten any of these.
I'm
shows.
Into it. I like it, to be honest.
Yeah,
and so
it's ruined America.
We'll agree to disagree. How dare you sully the great Ozzy Osbourne?
I know, but the guy was incredible.
Urinate on his grave today of all days, Keith. Did you ever see him live, Bill?
I did not. No.
Were you a fan?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't diehard. You know, I knew about Ozzy because of my my older sister's boyfriend. At the time, now husband, was like super into
that style
of music.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But I know what he was to that genre of music. For us, it was like what Kurt Cobain did.
Yeah.
Grunge.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, they were the tone setters of like this style of music. But yeah, he was entertaining. And like you said, like you saw him 20 years ago, and I hate to use the word, but like he's looked decrepit for like 30 years.
It's unreal. And
so when you say 76, I'm like, if you told me he was 86, I would have believed it.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
I absolutely believed it. But he was awesome because like he didn't shy away from who he was, what he did, and you know what people loved about him. And that was what was great about him.
Because I also think, like, you go back to that time where there are all these like iconic, incredible bands. Right, or then you have other like artists, like whether it's, you know, Bob Dylan or like Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones. But it's like, I need something that goes a little harder than that.
Yep.
I need something that could kind of kick it up a notch and then inspire another whole wave of bands where you get like true hard rock, heavy metal. And you don't get that without Sabbath.
I mean, you had radio stations across the country just playing full Ozzy, whether it's Sabbath or him or whatever. You had outpouring from celebrities, obviously people in music. I knew he was a big deal. I guess I didn't quite realize the level of his celebrity and how probably because of the show, he really did span a lot of different walks of life. That was surprising news when I heard that driving home yesterday, and sad news with Ozzy Osbourne passing away yesterday. I know the station's been paying tribute throughout the day. I thought Greg did a great job. If you missed any of that, Odyssey app. AUDACY. You can go back and check that
out. How about this real quick? So this is just talk about my wheelhouse. Late 90s, early 2000s, Ozfest would include the following: Slipknot, Kitty, Pantera, Marilyn Manson, Mudvayne, Godsmack, Rob Zombie, Incubus, Linkin Park, System of a Down, POD, Papa Roach, Disturbed.
Nice.
That's not the greatest concert you've ever heard of in your life?
I've heard of most of those bands. Who's Kitty? I'm not familiar with Kitty.
Female band.
Yo, really?
Oh, they go real hard.
Nice.
Oh, they go hard in the paint.
I liked, was Kitty a Presidents of the USA song? I think I liked that song.
Oh, little Peaches?
Well, I liked, of course. I like Peaches. But I also like the PUSA deep cuts there.
Gotcha.
Too. I think Kitty was a deep cut.
Gotcha.
But that's quite a lineup.
Yeah, some pretty incredible stuff. Yep.
Meanwhile, we've had our eyes on what's going on here at Patriots training camp. Day one has wrapped up. I thought I saw Diggs signing some autographs. Drake May hanging behind. He was playing catch with, I thought it was Booty. Is Booty 9?
Yep, that sounds right.
He was playing catch afterwards with Kayshawn Booty. Who's out there with him now? Is that Chisholm?
Yeah, I think so.
Nice. Put on a actually, I'm sorry. That's not May anymore. That's Woolridge.
All right. Well, get some passes in.
So we'll give you some updates on what went down here today on the training field. I think we highlighted the two big plays in real time, maybe three big plays in real time when they happen. Drake May's first throw, crosser to Steph Diggs, got a big pop out of the crowd. He had a nice comeback throw for us on the near side sideline, back shoulder to Kyle Williams in front of Christian Gonzalez. He also had a near pick that Jabril Peppers dropped. That was his only incompletion of the day. He was 8-9 on passes. Josh Dobbs looked terrible, which maybe has you missing Joe Milton. We can discuss 617-779-7937. Weigh in on whatever you want here on Jones and Keefe. Coming up at high noon, Drake May going to speak shortly. We have more takeaways from day one at Patriots training camp now in the books. That's next.
I thought it was one of these rubber bats. I picked it up. It was a real bat.
Was it alive?
Well, until I bit the head of it.
Jones and Keefe.